I got water. Water is warm.
Please stand as we sing together hymn number 374, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God we will prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Would you join me in the call to worship? Hallelujah. Christ is with us. Let us, all the people, praise him.
Let all creation sing with joy. Hallelujah.
And now if you turn to page 881 in your hymnal for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Forever shall be, forever.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing book to 2172. We Are Called.
Join me in the prayer of confession. God of mercy, your command to love one another across all differences and opens us to new horizons. Yet we often respond with fear and judgment that hinders your goal for humanity. Forgive our sins, we pray, and give us a true repentance that leads to life for all creation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God's promises are trustworthy and true. Your sins are forgiven. Be at peace to serve the Lord, and may you always be known by your love.
So would the children please come forward for a moment with whoever's doing it. All right, there we go.
Look at all these things I have. You want to hold them or pass them around? What are all these things? You want to look at it? Those are Band-Aids. Have you ever seen so many different kinds? There's one for a finger. There's one if you have a giant boo-boo. There's little bitty dots. There's clear ones. There's ones that have medicine on them. There is everything. And then, of course, we have the fun ones. They can all have a fun one. I didn't know they had so many princess ones. I tried to find some. Y'all can go ahead and take them out, and y'all can keep one of these kind of Band-Aids. Pick which one you like. So what do Band-Aids do? Any ideas? Yes.
They keep you from bleeding.
Oh, very good. Yes. Or what else? For germs is good. You can put them on your shoes. If you get in a blister, if you get a little burn, you can put them on. You can put them on for, like you said, to keep you from bleeding. He wants a couple. So, what do we do if we have a broken heart? Does anybody know? What do you think a broken heart is? What kind of hurt? Well, you can be sad. Usually you're sad for a long time or just really, really sad. I mean, like maybe your pet died or something. You're just really sad. You have a broken heart. Or even you can have a broken heart if you're really, really mad about something. Well, can we wait just 1 minute? So if you're really mad or if you were upset about something, does that not count as being having a broken heart maybe? So how do we make that broken heart better? How do we not be so sad, not be so upset? Can we fix it with a Band-Aid? No. What do we have to do? Who can fix that broken heart? That's right. How do you think we can do it?
God can.
So what do we need to do to have God help us heal our broken heart if we have a broken heart?
Ask him. Ask him. Oh, he will give.
And he'll give. That's right. Ask and he will give. So you just need to pray, ask for help. Anything. If you're just so sad, take care of it, okay, and get that broken heart fixed because that Band-Aid's not going to do it. So let's say our prayer together. Dear Lord, help us to heal our small wounds and help us to let others know that you can heal our broken hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I have to say that there is a lesson in that lesson for all of us. Okay? So let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, that we're able to gather together today, that we're able, Lord, to declare your glory over these two girls and over everyone that is here, my Heavenly Father, and each family that is represented here also, Lord. We pray, Father, lifting up those things that are deep in our heart, Lord, that just we cannot find the right words. But even though we don't have anything in writing, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the way that you continue to be faithful to us, Lord. The way that you continue to guide us and the way that you don't give up on us. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would join me now with the prayer of illumination. O God of promise, your word made flesh in Jesus Christ is trustworthy and true. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may it rise up with us this day like a gift from the springs of water of life to refresh our thirsty souls. Amen. The word from today comes from Daniel 3, verses 16 and 19. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. The rest of the story, we know it very well. And you will find it in the book of Daniel. I've entitled this, Be Different, Stand Firm in Your Faith. The text we're studying today takes place centuries ago, but as Christians today, we too face similar circumstances. No, we're not being thrown into an actual fiery pit, but the pressures to bow to the idols of this world, to the leadership that is focused on building themselves up instead of building God up, we can see that Christianity is becoming less tolerated and more hated. And so we too are faced with the same questions. Are we going to compromise our beliefs when they are not part of the majority? Will we ignore what we know for sure about God to appease man? When the music plays, will we be like robots and bow down to the false gods of this world? Or will we use our freedom in Christ to worship our God alone? Will we trust God and follow him when it does not make sense to the world, and especially when it does not make sense to you and to me? Because we're standing firm in our faith, we take courage in the boldness and the assurance that God is always in control. You're not only being different, but others are calling you strange. And that's okay, because you're standing where you're supposed to be standing, and that is in your faith. I believe that this story was inspirational for that time, and the story speaks volumes about the God we serve today. And I believe their testimony will be just the encouragement some of us need in order to remain unshaken in our faith and stand strong in it today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Israelites. The entire Old Testament is about God's involvement with the Israelites. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see a constant back and forth between the Israelites' relationship and their God. Sometimes they were devoted to serving God, one God alone, Yahweh. Other times, they are lured into worship of other gods. Now, each time we find the Israelites straying from their God, they lose his protection and find themselves being overtaken by other nations. When you read the whole story, you will see that they have now been overtaken by the Babylonians and are being held captive under King Nebuchadnezzar. The king Nebuchadnezzar built an idol and makes a decree a decree that sounds, that at the sound of certain instruments, everyone in the nation is to bow down and worship this particular idol. Oh, and for those that do not do that, the ones that do not bow, the incentive was that they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. So everyone bowed down to these idols except a few Jews, including the three boys in our story. So now they are faced with the challenge that occurs when serving your earthly authority and serving your God clashes, when they're not in tune with each other. Now you might be wondering, what about Daniel? Well, Daniel is actually not mentioned in chapter 3 at all, which makes me believe that this was a personal attack against these three young men that had been favored by the king and were very envied by the people around them. King Nebuchadnezzar really thought he was about to get this young man to bow down to this idol. He thought he had them beat with all his authority and his blazing furnace. But see, they had a God that was greater than King Nebuchadnezzar. They served a God greater than their problems, struggles, and definitely greater than their circumstances. They tell the king, "We hope God will deliver us." They knew he was able to do so. Each one of you know the same thing. But even if for some reason he does not, what determination. I mean, think about it. When things don't go our way, we're tempted to think that God has forgotten us. We're tempted to think that we need to help him, because he might not know really what we need, or he might not understand where we are. So we look for other gods that will come in and appease our insecurity and fill the space where our faith should be standing. Let's be real. Have you ever struggled with those temptations while facing the fiery furnace in your own life? All of us, I think, had been at one particular point or another where we're thinking that this is more than I can bear. And you kind of wonder, but this is exactly the time in which you need to stand in your faith. And then, but if he does not, you still claim him as your Lord, your God, and your King. But if not, those are words that you really need to be so much undergirded with the word of God, because even to say it now, and we are not in a catastrophic mode right at this moment, I gotta tell you that it makes me remember times when I had to say, but if not, I still believe that I serve a greater God than my circumstances. I'm also glad that we have this example, because it's an example of honesty. They believe in God and they stand in their faith, but they were also looking at a fiery furnace. So to pretend that it wasn't there, that wouldn't be honest. That's kind of like wishful thinking, and we cannot take that route. When things don't go the way we're supposed to, the way we think they're supposed to, we might be called negative if we say, but if not. You're not being negative. You're surrendering everything you love and everything you hold dear to God at that moment. There are lives, all of our circumstances have a but if not. That's just the world is, the way the world is. And we all need to know that it is in those words that we shine the brightest to God when we say, but if not. But if it's not your will, but if it's not your decision, because God knows what is best for us, This is where the trust in God's word comes in. All of us are going to have a but if not in our lives. We all want to hold our people here together forever. That's just not realistic. But if not, know that God will give you everything you need to stand, everything you need to speak, everything you need to do in your faith. It is important, extremely important, that when things are the worst, you stand firm in who you know and whose you are, who you belong to. Faith is not only good for when things are going well. Faith is what you need a double portion of when things are not going well. Because that's when you have the attacks are just coming and coming. And you don't even see where they're coming from. That's when you need the help of prayer to stand firm. Through their example, these three young men show us that we don't have to ignore or run from our issues. We can boldly face any outcome with full assurance that our God is completely two things. He is able and he is worthy. He is able to change everything and anything, and he is worthy of our praise and our trust. So today, when we stand firm in our faith, we stand firm every time we choose to live in the truth of who we are in Christ, rather than limiting ourselves to what we see in this physical world. We stand firm when we choose to see the world through our spiritual eyes in every circumstances, and recognizing that Jesus truly is our King. We stand firm when we declare the enemy a very sore loser. The presence of his former kingdom is still here. He truly still roams the earth up and down. And he would love nothing more than to convince us that he still has power in this world. But Jesus very clearly stated that all authority had been given to him. The enemy no longer has any rights unless you open that door. Matthew 28:18 says, stand in the truth. Remind the enemy of his lost and walk in the victory you have in Jesus. So thinking in the direction of Satan, which would be doubt and just, you know, look where you are and you're not worthy and all the negativity that Satan brings, or standing in the power of Jesus, you have been saved. You're the child of a king. Yes, you're going through some stuff, but I have promised that this is just passing through. I have given you eternal life. I love you from here to eternity. What's better? What's easier to believe? But this is where you open the door. If you contemplate the thoughts of negativity that Satan likes to bring in, guess what? You open the door a little bit and he just pushes in and come in and tries to get a hold of you. And then from you, it passes to the people around you, to the people that love you, to people that know where they stand. And because they care for you, they just feel they don't know what to say or what to do. You cannot, not even for a moment, contemplate that you're less than worthy. You are worthy, each one of you, the way you are. Sinful as we are today, Jesus knew it, and still he died for each one of us. I mean, I cannot, every time I say it, I just cannot even wrap my head around it. You know, there are so many times in which we're called to do something, and we say, well, you know, they might not appreciate it. Did he have that thought? And if he did, he overcame it. And he said, yes, I will die for them. They are worthy. Your attitude in challenging times could determine the outcome. While your might not be able to change your circumstances, you can certainly cooperate with God to change you. After a time of careful reflection, confess areas of your life where you are off track, and we all get off track at one time or another. Tell God you want Him to guide your life. Tell Him you want to move forward with a heart that is open to change, a heart that is responsive to love and to love your neighbor, a heart that is responsive to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? We do this by meditating on God's Word. The Lord tells us in Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We have hundreds of books written by famous people on how to be successful. Each book has its own formula to follow. The Bible gives you the only formula, one, the only one you need. And church, the instructions given, they come with a promise, and they come with a guarantee. You follow my word, and I will give you success. Who cannot remember that? It's just that simple. Now, success is not only always what we think it is. And sometimes we cannot say, oh, I was successful there. But in time, you're able to look back and you say, oh my God, not only was I successful, but I was significant in somebody else's life. And we are in a time in which we need to be significant, not only good in other people's life, we need to be significant. The other thing is that you need to examine your heart. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, we can say whatever we want to say. We can, you know, think in our head that, oh yeah, I'm going to do that and that and that. But if our heart, it's not in accord with our mind, and our mind is not speaking what our heart is telling it, then we're not in tune. Then the heart is telling you something that you're not supposed to do, or something that you are supposed to do, but you're not acting on it. The verse implies that everything starts with your heart, and as such, you need to pay careful attention to what is in it. Your attitude in challenging times could determine the outcome. While you might not be able to change your circumstances, I truly believe it can change you. Sometimes prayer is just standing and declaring, God, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to say. Nothing comes to my mind at this moment. But one thing I remember, that I trust you and that you're able. And then add to it, but if not, I still stand. The last thing I can share with you is to make sure you offer praise and thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what's happening, regardless of the move, regardless of what has been taken away, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants you to thank and praise Him, not just in the good times, but also when things are difficult. After all, He never changes, and His blessings are available in every situation you face. Have you ever? No, I know you have. So do you remember when you have been in a real hard circumstances, maybe saying goodbye to your loved one, to your spouse, even to a child, which is the hardest thing in the world. And in the midst of the confusion, there is this peace that comes in. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit going. Is it going to change the circumstances at the moment? It might not. But you're still being embraced by the one that loves you and loves you forever. When you praise God, you encourage yourself. You move from a difficulty of the situation to see God's love, power, and faithfulness to you. To you. To know that he will never harm you. And he will never hurt you. You drive out the enemy. The devil is behind much of the adverse situations that we experience today. He's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And as you give praise to God where it belongs, this drives out the enemy, because Satan cannot live between the praises of God's people. This, he cannot occupy the same space. So when you're praising God, even if it's just a simple thank you, Jesus, or like me, sometimes I have no words. I go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I just want to make sure that Jesus is all around me, and I don't know, you know, who's coming, what's there or anything, but Jesus, 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 you know. I just have to claim the name of Jesus, because there's power in that name. We don't need to be eloquent. The Lord doesn't care about how much we know. He only cares how much we care. And the other thing is that when we do that, we please God. It delights God's heart to see his children praising him, even and especially in the hard circumstances. Praising God is difficult. In difficult situations, demonstrates your faith in God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Church, this is such a special subject for me. I want to make sure that you understand that God will never, ever bless sin in any type and in any circumstances. That's never going to happen, ever. But he will always forgive you. As soon as you recognize, oh, pooh, I went the wrong way, and you come to him and you said, I messed up. I need your forgiveness. He's going to forgive you. So he's not going to condone your sin, but he's there waiting for you, even calling you. Come and receive my forgiveness. Confess your sin. Let me cleanse you. I stand strong in my belief that the purpose of prayer is not just to tell God what we think we need or what we think we should have in order to be complete. I don't believe that prayer is about that. I believe that our prayers, while it might not be able to change our circumstances, it will really hold us up while the Lord is changing us. Through prayer, our mind can go from a moment of desperation to a moment that it makes spiritual sense. And that's where we want to go. In the end, we can bounce back from adversity because your faith in God took you through it. Your testimony will encourage other people because they will see how God brought you through hard times into a good place. And when the time comes, when you will be called, and you will be called to say, but if not, you still will praise him. I'd like to close with this verse for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Come in through your head and just flow into every corner of your body and your heart and your mind and your soul. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless and at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
heaven, it is well with my soul.
Before we go to our potluck and farewell luncheon for Viv and Charlene, let me bless the food and then give you your benediction. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the food we're about to receive and the moment of fellowship, Lord. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together just at the right time, Lord. We praise you, God, and we ask that you bless the hands that made the food and the family they represent. Now receive this blessing from the Lord. May God, who has made you a new creation, give you the grace to grow in faith, hope, love, and justice. Go with the peace that only God can give you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Because he was.
wonderful week. I'm coming, Sharon.